As you can tell, I'm not Brian.
No. Nope.
I am Taylor. I'm usually here. But you know who's usually not here?
That's me.
Is the guy you just heard our theme song that we've had for a while. The guy who made our theme song, Levi Bradford. We've mentioned his name a few times. He's here today. It's a very special day. We're recording on a Monday night. Hopefully we'll get this up pretty soon. Wednesday is the finale of Survivor season 455.
We are very excited. We've been watching since literally the Stone Age.
Is that how long you've been watching?
No.
It feels like it's been on that.
That many seasons would be the Stone Age.
So
I wanted to have you here because Brian doesn't watch Survivor. I feel
which is a mistake.
I feel like there's a lot of shows I could just get random people to talk about with that Brian doesn't watch. I always complain about him not watching certain shows on our podcast.
I thought about he watched every show.
We do
watch every show. That's how it goes.
Ooh, I saw that wink.
Anyway. So we're here to talk about Survivor. Another great season. Has there ever not been a great? That's a lie. There's been so many not great seasons.
There's been a ton of not great seasons. I've only watched maybe 5, and there's already been a couple of not
I've
great
only
ones.
Watched maybe 25, and a lot of them are awesome. But I've only done about 4 or 5 since we started our great fantasy Survivor experiment, which is part of the reason why we wanted to do a podcast, just because we love the weekly event of Survivor so much, and we were very surprised it was coming to an end already.
And we don't just watch Survivor, we study Survivor.
We live Survivor.
We are survivors.
We should really apply. We should try that.
We haven't applied yet. We say every single year we're going to apply next season.
Anyway, this is Levi and Taylor. He'll play us out like he usually does.
This is our application.
Today we're going to talk about Survivor. Where's Figgy? I thought you were going to get Figgy on with us today.
I was hoping Figgy was going to join. I tweeted at her, and she simply liked my tweet and never responded.
Well, okay. Start off, tell me why you like Survivor. When did you first watch Survivor?
So you actually got me into Survivor my very first season. We lived in a house together.
You're welcome.
A long time ago.
it was so long.
A real rundown house, and you and Ty would sit around on that giant couch we had and watch Survivor.
We'll talk about Ty later.
Ty as a character is going to come in a later time. And eventually you invited me to come watch Survivor. And I think that was the year we started Fantasy Survivor.
The three of us.
I think it was season 30, whichever one Mike really killed it at. It was one of the most exciting
Mike Holloway.
Seasons.
So we'll explain Fantasy Survivor in a minute, but we just wanted to give a brief background. For me, Survivor is something my family has watched as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
I vividly remember the Wednesdays it would come on when we lived on an Air Force base in Texas. And it was me and my brother, we had 1 hour a week we were allowed to play video games. I believe this, maybe I'm misremembering, my mom will tell me this isn't how it was. But we only had 1 hour a week we were allowed to play video games during the school week, and I have a weird memory of us playing Madden in the back porch, and then Survivor came on, and my parents would only yell at us when the challenges were on, and we would just run in, watch the challenges, like watch reward challenge, watch immunity challenge, and then go back to whatever we were doing on the back porch. And to say that my view of Survivor has shifted is probably an understatement, because I think I could almost live without the challenges now.
They're so minor compared to all that stuff that happens in between.
But that was my
initial exposure to it. And now, just to sound pretentious for a minute, what I love is the things it says about humans and society and the way that people interact with each other and way they deceive each other.
Could we please get some soft piano music playing right now?
I'll stop.
That was very deep. No, and that's one of the reasons I love watching it. I don't really think about it as like a huge social experiment, but when I remember that they consider themselves to be a social experiment. I don't know how long you can keep one experiment going. But 34 seasons? Is that what
I think we're on 34, yeah. 34 or 33? Let me check here. I got it up right here. 33. We're on 33.
So they call themselves a social experiment, but as of right now, I feel like we've figured out everything that it has to tell us, which is just that.
But it surprises us every week.
So Survivor, but like, that's but my here's fault. The thing.
Here's the thing about 33 seasons, if for those of you who don't know and you're going to listen to this for some reason, Survivor has been on for about 16 years. They do a season in the spring, a season in the fall, and the god Jeff Probst has been the host since the beginning. Quick tangent, I don't know what happens to this show if he's not around.
Well, I think he said he wants to make it at least season 50.
Did he say that?
Yeah, I've never heard that.
I remember this in an interview somewhere. But he says he wants to make it to season 50, and then after that, that seems like a good time for a show to end, in my mind. It doesn't have to go on forever, right?
I think it should go on forever. I want to die before Survivor ends.
Well, that could still happen. Trust me, you still got like 5 years.
That's a weird thing to say.
Okay. So,
it's great, you can edit that,
let's talk about... before we get into the season, let's bring up our fantasy Survivor just to show you how nerdy we are about this stuff here. So we've been doing this for a few years, as Levi mentioned, and we wanted to get together to talk about it, partially because of how obsessed we have been with it over the last few years. So the way it works is pretty simple. 18 castaways, 39 days, one survivor.
I think there's 20.
There's 20?
There's 18. There's 5 times 4.
Oh, there used to be 18. That's why I have that.
What kind of Survivor fan are you?
There's 20 now. So there's 20 castaways.
And there are now 4 of us in our Fantasy Survivor League. As Levi mentioned, Ty, a good friend of ours, he's been around since the beginning.
OG. Beginning of time.
And now
Jordan, who... So this girl Levi knows.
She's involved.
She's my wife.
Yeah, they're married.
I was gonna make a joke at the beginning of the podcast, which I attempted valiantly before, about how I'm cheating on my podcast. I was meant to do a bonus podcast, and I hope you didn't feel the same. It was hard. It was a lot of words.
That was hard. That was a stretch.
It was hard to pull off. Anyway, Jordan and Ty. Friends of ours also involved. So what we do is we go through this year they were 20, as we talked about. We each draft 5 people. We have detailed notes. I have detailed notes at least.
Taylor has detailed notes, but none of us take any notes except like, oh look, it's Will. I like him. Oh look, it's Jessica. I don't like her.
No, mine is like seems smart. Parentheses too smart? Question mark.
This is exactly who you are as a person. You should all of the Word documents you've put together, organizing this entire fantasy league, are all color-coded, organized in a very specific way.
Yeah, not to get too lost in the weeds, but there's a Word document for our teams, there's a Word document for our scoring system, a Word document for the standings, and a Word document for the cast list
that keeps track of things. And, you know, if you know me, just get over it. We draft our teams... And then each week how it works is you get to pick a person that might get medically evacuated just in case that happens, because there was one season where that happened
a lot.
And you also get 10 points to, what's the word, distribute? 10 points to distribute among people who you think will get eliminated. So you can put, you know, 5 points on Bill, 5 points on Bob, and if Bob gets voted out, you have 5 points, so on. If your players are on the tribes that win reward or immunity, or later in the game, if they win individual reward or immunity, you get points for that, so on and so forth.
I won't get into the specific point totals because it won't make any sense to you. If you're really interested, tweet at us.
We'll give you like a
full rundown if you really want. I'm at Dave Taylor, which I probably should say on podcast, but I don't tweet that much anymore.
I am at Levi the Bradford, follow for follow. All donations help.
Oh, God. Anyway, so we go through, we pick, blah, blah, blah. This season, So we can get into some real Survivor talk.
Let's
here.
Get into some actual.
Levi is currently in first place. The finale is in 2 days.
By a lot.
He's got a decent lead, but the problem is he's only got Brett left.
Yeah. So over the course of the season, Ty made some pretty bad picks, and most of his good players got eliminated early. If you're watching this season, he had Michaela and Taylor were both on his team. And they were both looking like promising picks, but they got eliminated eventually. And so he's now down to one, which is exclusively David.
David Wright.
I had a great team for a long time. I'm currently in first place. They were killing it. But then my man Zeke and Will Wall, is that his last name? We always call him Will Sims 3. Because of a previous Will Sims 2.
Based off the evil Will Sims 2. Gosh.
But now I'm down to one player.
I'm also down to one, which I'll talk about in a second. But I got to tell you, Jordan's 20 points behind you in the standings. But it's looking pretty strong for her right now. Levi's wonderful wife, Jordan. If you're looking for someone to root for this week when you're watching the Survivor finale.
She needs either Ken, Jay, or Hannah to win.
And she'll probably win.
It's looking so good for her. She's looking so good.
Levi somehow needs Brett to win, who we'll talk about in a minute.
Honestly,
I would need Adam to win. I could have David win, and he would probably still not win.
He's so far behind.
But let's, okay, as a way of transitioning into what has been a pretty interesting season, let me talk about my team. Because I know people want to hear me talk about my fantasy Survivor team.
Just talk about you.
I drafted Adam, who's still in, we'll talk about him later, Jessica and Chris, and a couple other people who are don't matter anymore. But Jessica and Chris were the two power players,
leaders.
What, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
They were the heads of their respective alliances opposing each other. And next thing you know, Jess organized a blindside in a two-hour special to take out Chris. The second hour, this I want to try to explain. Because
please.
This was, I've watched a lot of Survivor, and this was one of the craziest things I've ever seen that led to Jess's demise. There were, let's say, 10 people left. I don't remember. But just for
something
sake of math being easier. And it was 5-5. The vote was 5-5. I believe it was for Hannah.
David and Hannah.
It was David and Hannah. And
Jay had won immunity. And David had played his immunity idol for Ken. Is that right?
I take that back. It was Zeke and Hannah.
Zeke and Hannah, okay.
Yeah.
But the Ken and Jay is right, right?
David had played his immunity idol for Ken.
So you can't vote for Jay because he won an immunity challenge. You can't
right.
vote for Ken because he has an immunity idol. I mean, he gave it to him at the end, so you
mm-hmm.
technically could have voted for him, but it wouldn't count. So they tied 5-5, Zeke and Hannah, because David guessed wrong. So it doesn't matter. Let me just... So it's 5-5. You re-vote. Hannah can't vote, Zeke can't vote, because they'll just vote for each other.
These rules get really complex.
It's like, if you ever played Mafia, it's like that, except more confusing. So, when you go to a revote, if you tie again, then you draw rocks.
Just randomly.
Just
random. Whoever draws the white rock or the black rock.
The black rock,
goes home.
Yeah. They're all white rocks except for one. One's a black rock.
So, everyone's looking around, they're like, Jess, change your vote. And she's like, oh no, I can't. And...
And she just looks so helpless.
Of course. She doesn't change her vote. 4-4. So for some reason, that means Hannah and Zeke are now safe unless the tribe can unanimously decide to pick one of them, which obviously they don't. So then they all go to draw rocks, and Jessica opens her hand with the black rock and just starts bawling. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen.
It was hard to watch. I've never seen someone react so blatantly negatively. Like most of the people this season, were like, it was a fun ride. Like, that's great, whatever. But she just started sobbing immediately. And her exit interview after she walked off was just her being like,
it's like a solid 10 seconds of her just staring at her hands.
And just say like, if I changed my vote, I would still be there right now. I would still be there and just sobbing.
And don't worry. You know,
Survivor's not usually that complicated, but that was one of the craziest Survivor moments.
So that happened. Let's talk about pigtails. We want to talk about three things each. Well, I just stole yours, obviously. But we want to each have three things from this season that have stood out to us. It's just like classic Survivor things.
Yeah.
So you wanted to talk about pigtails. Sort of explain what that even is.
So pigtails was a power couple that happened. Figgy, I don't know what her actual name is. But
I believe it's Figgy Figueroa as the person who compiles the standings each week.
Oh. Her first name's not Figgy.
I don't know, it's Jessica or something. I don't remember what it is.
Something like that. But Figgy and Tails, two of the hottest people on Survivor, got together to make a hot power couple. That was all about it. They lasted a surprisingly long amount of time.
These people were like making out with each other after not showering or brushing their teeth for like weeks.
It was like day three, and people like heard them making out as they were waking up. It was almost as bad as me at like Christian camp when I was in eighth grade. Only they actually made out, and I told people I made out with someone.
Not where I thought that story was going, but okay. Also, they pretended to the rest of the tribe that they didn't even like each other. That was the worst lie.
There was one moment where they were on a split up tribe with Ken and Jessica and Figgy and Tail, and we call him Taylor. Taylor's the other half. We call him Tails.
Well, they call him Tails on the show.
Yeah.
Also,
we all
for some reason. People in our Fantasy Survivor group call me Tails now, which is not great. But
we're just waiting for him to get his Figgy. Anyways, out there, tweet him at A-Games.
Not wrong. That's wrong. But
tweet him at A-Games, 6969. We're
a G podcast. Calm down.
but there was a great moment where they both decided, like, we've got to tell the rest of our tribe that we're in love. And they tell... And Figgy sits down with Jessica and just goes, "Hey, so me and Tails are kind of a thing." And Jessica, very sarcastically, is like, "Oh, really?
Oh, so really? If you're wondering, does Survivor have romance? Yes, Survivor has romance. If you're thinking, I hate reality shows that have contrived romance, don't worry, Survivor doesn't usually have romance.
This is a once in a while.
It really doesn't that often, but this was entertaining.
We
should mention, by the way, we sort of skipped over this, which is my fault, because I'm trying to undercut Brian, be my host. But Gen X versus Millennials was the theme this year. They always take a random, like, BS theme.
Well, in my shallow experience with the show is that they have picked themes they've done before. Like,
Braun versus Beauty.
Versus brains.
Versus brains.
The blood versus water.
That was one I saw a lot.
Family.
The creative one that we saw recently was the no collar, white collar, blue collar.
Mm, yeah.
And then there's this one, which is Gen X versus Millennials.
A fitting time for it.
Which was amazing.
So stupid.
We have me and Tails have different opinions on this theme.
I just don't like themes in general on Survivor. Because I'm so interested in the intra-tribal, or inter-tribal, I don't even know what I'm trying to say.
Intra-tribal.
But the way that people interact with each other and form alliances and stuff, and the formation of characters via interviews and editing
right. And stuff
is, in a good season, is interesting enough that, like, the theme is a distraction. Especially when Jeff is yelling out, like,
that is, okay.
I guess Gen X just works harder. That's why they're winning this challenge.
I agree with you on that front. When Jeff sits down at a tribal council and there is this heated debate going on about something that actually matters, he's like, it looks like a millennial is trying to, you know, undercut the authority of the Gen X over here. And then
is this just like classic millennials where you guys just, you don't take it too seriously, you just want to let it fly, and that's why your tribe's like this? It's just like, it's so ridiculous.
It almost felt like the whole season was built to try and make millennials look like goofballs and look like terrible people, but I do not think it's turned out that way.
Here's my only argument against the themes that I need. Tell me one time the show has not gotten better when they abandon the theme completely. Because every season they do it. At some point, they just abandon the theme.
So this season got better after they abandoned the theme. But I do not think it was because they abandoned the theme. The theme, in my mind, is added to the overall like story and just my feelings about the season have been so much better because they kind of stick to those themes themselves. They identify themselves as young or old. Those are pretty natural separations. A lot of them still like look at like Jay or Taylor as like classic, but those guys are millennials.
Well, let me get
artsy again.
Oh, please do.
The thing I love about Survivor is it's not about Gen X versus millennials. It's not about brains versus brawn versus beauty. It's about the fact that these are all people. And they're all just people trying to make it in the world, trying to win $1 million, trying to get along. There's always cool moments where you realize that everyone on the tribe actually likes each other, even though they're trying to vote each other out the whole time.
Do you realize you would have never had this moment of realization if there weren't themes in the first place? It would have just been It would have just been random people on an island getting along or not getting along. That's it. If you have the themes and then later break down the themes, you get to see the transition. You get to see the difference when they're separated by theme, when they're not separated by theme.
Well, I'm sorry you need your entertainment spoon fed to you like that. Let's talk about abandoning the theme, because that's the first thing I want to talk about. It's something they did this season that I'm pretty sure they've never done before that I thought was actually pretty awesome, is they took the two tribes, the Gen X and Millennial, and then they turned it into three tribes, which I don't think the show's started with three and gone to two.
It started with three a lot.
I don't think it's ever started at two and gone to three. Which was kind of a brilliant move because it took the normal tribe dynamics, screwed them all up, and then threw them back together at the merge. And it really made the post-merge gameplay this year really interesting. Like, almost every episode since the merge has been crazy.
Yeah, I think they figured out those numbers. The move from two to three seemed so basic to me that I never thought a second about it. That was the worst way to phrase that. I never thought twice about it. But you pointed it out a couple of times that was the best move they could have possibly done. And I think you're right. I can't really explain why, but the chemistry was just perfect. Going from entrenching people in those two tribes and then splitting up into three. The mix in the three tribes, the mix between millennials and Gen Xers was perfect. The relationships that were formed in those three tribes have lasted like a long time. Like really, really mattered. Well, it felt like in previous times they mixed up the tribes like so often that the relationships that happened would just fall apart the next voting block. Like last season, they talked a lot about the game changing from voting in alliances long term to voting blocks every single vote. And I think this season has gone back from that. Rather, they're not just changing every single vote. I think there are long-term alliances we've seen played out.
Which is better. Because when you're watching a voting block type season like last year, it feels like no one has any coherent strategy or goals, and it's just random decisions each time that lead to God knows what happening.
I think it makes following their stories harder. Because there's like no story. It's all just tension every single
time. No loyalty.
No loyalties, no relationship that develop, which are really interesting.
Let me talk about some forgotten stars. Some people from this year that at one point or another we loved.
Where'd they go?
They got voted out. Zeke is the most recent of those. I think we were all big Zeke fans. Was he on your team?
He was on my team. I was certain Zeke was going to go really, really far. He was looking like a powerhouse because him and David ended up being like the two king lions of either of like two separate alliances.
For context, these are two people in the real world. If you were in like a high school, they would never be the leaders of two groups of cool kids.
They are getting bullied in high school for sure. David is tiny, he's scrawny, he's very nervous and anxious, and he writes for Family Guy, so he's always trying to be funny, but he's never really funny. And Zeke is loud.
He's much more confident in himself than David is.
He's confident, and he's very, very gay. And that in itself is a beauty of a nice school, but he's really turned that on his head this season, and he has become this controlling sort of leader.
Oh, right until he got voted out.
Right until he died.
Also, Michaela is someone I wanted to bring up. The 25-year-old from Texas, the loudmouth, I guess you could say.
I've never seen anyone more fiery, may I say, as Michaela this
She was
season.
Awesome.
And
she
it
basically
crazy
single-handedly
sometimes.
Won, like, every challenge.
And then, while she was the victor already, stood around and critiqued other people doing the challenge to try and get second place.
But it was, I thought it was telling how much people in her tribe liked her when they interviewed them. To show that, like, she really was just, like, that was her personality, and the way they edited it could make it look, you know, obnoxious, but, like, that
right.
was really, she, like, was just kind of a fun person.
Because the obnoxious parts that she had made great little bits of television. So they're going to show them, you know? They don't have time to just show all of Michaela. I just wish I got to see so much more of her.
And she wasn't exactly going around dumping people's rice out of the fire like some other loud people.
May we say Scott and Jason season 34, those.
I wasn't even talking about them. Good Lord.
Oh, really?
I don't even want to get into this right now, but they ruined a season of Survivor, those two people. They bullied and... They got a jury to vote for someone who didn't deserve to win because they thought it was funny.
They ruined the final vote. You can ruin any other thing and I'll gloss it over, but Aubrey didn't win and Michelle did. And
Aubrey was kind of a nerdy, not confident girl who was probably in her 20s, and they just voted for like the vacuous hot girl.
The one girl that people, like, brought along because they never thought she would win, but she was, like, hot, so, like, the basketball player was really into her.
What a bummer. Why are we on that?
Let's get off that. That was
one more
season.
Bummer.
Back to this season.
One more bummer. Mari Takahashi.
Mm.
Some kind of video game YouTube star who, when we watched the preseason videos of each castaway, which we should mention we do that also, we all loved her. We thought she was going to be great.
Yeah, she plays video games for a living, and in all of her interviews, she was so talkative and personable, and she was, like, confident without being loud and obnoxious like some people can be. But she ended up not lasting long at all. Do you remember what round she got out in?
Oh, it was very early. I could tell you if I pull up my standings here, but...
Let's talk about...
Our last few things here, and this
okay.
is sort of going to help us move into the finale.
So
Brett is something you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, there was a specific moment I think you want to talk about.
So Brett has this whole season been almost a throwaway character. He was my very first pick. He was my, like, star player, and he turned out to be so lame. When Chris got voted off, he never came into himself. He never took initiative in anything. He was just such a stand-back guy. And there was this moment on a reward with Sunday and Zeke. Was there anyone else there?
Zeke was the only one that was there at the moment you're talking about.
So Sunday walks away, goes down to the beach, take a dip. I don't know why. Sunday is the worst character. But
what a failure that was.
But
just as a TV thing, that was just a
who
failure.
Who picks Sunday? Who looks at that interview
anyway,
and goes,
go on,
like, she's great.
Go on.
Back to Brett. So Brett and Zeke are sitting at this table.
Brett's a cop, by the way.
Brett's a cop. He's got this huge, like, Boston accent. Like, he's a cop. And Zeke is this very, very, like, gay millennial. Zeke is a gay millennial. Pardon me for saying gay. But Brett turns to him and just goes, you know, Zeke, you're not the only gay person on this show. And, like, Zeke stops. He's like,
well, Zeke and everyone watching is like, wait, what?
Because no one's ever expected this. Brett is this buff, like, Boston cop. And
it's all to say that just some stereotypes we haven't shaken yet.
And somehow Survivor, like, shook my stereotypes so well. And in that moment, Zeke and Brett became best friends. Best friends to a fault at some point. And... Brett like became his own character because he saved something till the end to just be like, hey, I'm gay too. And this is me developing as a character. I loved it. Now, may I also go on to my one of my other favorite characters this season right now, that Edward Zwingli, true Golden Boy survivor, Ken McNichol.
Ken McNichol.
Besides having a name that whenever I say it, my wife laughs hysterically at the name McNichol, Ken is dreamy beyond all belief.
Ken McNichol is a guy who, in his pre-show interview, was like, I went off the grid for a few years in Hawaii, did some odd jobs, made some cash here and there. I have a 4.5-year-old daughter. Hedonism's pretty cool.
But
and you're just like, what is, who is this guy?
He just embodies that so well, though. You think that by the way you said that, you'd be like, oh, I lived off the grid. I'm so cool.
No, he's actually the living embodiment of the most interesting man in the world commercial.
He should have been that guy. But Ken McNichol, real life, is a model. Plus, he lived off the grid. Plus, he's got a cute daughter he's playing for. There's nothing not to love about him. He looks amazing. He's always the nicest human being. He's not very good at the game.
But Jess did leave him an advantage when she got knocked off.
And we were very excited to see what this advantage is going to be in the last episode.
So, the last thing I wanted to talk about was Adam. Adam is...
Really quick, let me get on my violin. And my sad music is about to play.
Adam is on my team. He's my last person. And when we did the draft, we talked about my notes before. I wrote, I think he might do well, but he might get pulled for his mom. Because his mom, I believe, I don't remember the specifics, but she has breast cancer, at least at the time of the filming of this show. And he's clearly very emotional about it, and Survivor's about a month long if you make it to the end, so it's not a terribly long time to be away from your family, but I can't imagine that it's something you would want to do when your mom is going through, like, chemo or something. But, I mean, this stuff happens on this show sometimes, and he comes on and he says, you know, this means everything to my mom, I have to do this. He plays way too hard at the beginning. Similarly to David, and then he's a smart enough guy that he readjusts and figures out what he's doing, gets going. So it got to the point where he was in a decent position, but the last two episodes, he's actually just had great episodes.
Fantastic. Like,
I think last week, or a week before last, he won, he won reward? Oh, no, he got chosen for a reward.
He did get chosen for the
And then he played reward. An idol to, like, make someone else's move look like his move, which turned out to not be true, but...
Yeah.
He had an advantage where he could have stolen a reward, and he was like, I won't do this to you guys. And they were all like, oh, Adam's the best.
Because it was the love reward, where
yeah,
you got to hang out with the family.
Your family
member
gets to come for a couple of days or whatever. So, last episode, he's hanging out with Jay. And Jay and Adam have had just a pretty interesting Survivor relationship of two people who are opposed to each other the whole time, and yet they sort of respect each other. And I keep wanting to say Figgy, but Jay, I believe his mom, he said, had aneurysms.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was telling
Adam how much it means to him to just have a chance at $1 million. And then yeah. Adam's like, I have to tell you something. It happened until anyone the whole game about his mom. And he says, my mom is going through chemo and they still found some cancer, whatever his brother told him. I don't remember.
Yeah, his brother specifically told him that they were trying a specific treatment for a third time because it hadn't worked in the past.
And it wasn't working.
And it still wasn't working. And when stuff like that happens, you really just got to hope the one treatment is it, because a lot of those cancers have, like, one good way of treating it, and most of it's, like, chemo or radiation.
And here, Jay and Adam are just both crying in a hammock together in just a great human moment. And
yeah.
That's what... Survivor is not cynical about stuff like that.
Yeah.
It treats its... it treats its characters seriously when it's this far into the game, unless they're like coach level crazy,
right?
Like it'll take their hopes and dreams pretty seriously, and that was just a really, that's been a storyline they've handled really well. I'm excited to see them in the finale.
Can I just say I understand what Adam feels in this game. Three summers ago, I was all set up to go be a camp
contestant counselor. On Survivor.
Not a contestant on Survivor.
Camp counselor.
I was set up to be a camp counselor at a camp in North Carolina, and my family lives in Florida. And so I was at home with them in Florida 2 days before I left for the entire summer, so 2.5 months. And my parents sit us down and tell me and my brothers and sisters that my mom is, they found breast cancer in both her breasts. And we just had no idea what was going to happen. Everything was really scary. And all we knew is that eventually she would need some sort of serious surgery that wasn't super certain. At least it didn't seem certain to me at the time whether my mom would be okay. And so I have a very distinct memory of a night while I was a camp counselor in North Carolina, just like sitting outside my cabin while all my campers are asleep, waiting for someone to text me that my mom got out of surgery and was okay. And there's no real way to explain that feeling of just sitting there waiting for that to actually happen, for you to find out if something's good or something's bad. And it is really like a feeling of timelessness. Because like I could have stayed up that entire night just sitting there, eyes wide open, like staring into the darkness like that forest, waiting for my mom to get out of a surgery and for my parents to text me. And I feel like that's what Adam feels half the time here, is this like sitting up at night being like, I don't have any communications.
A lot of free time on Survivor.
A lot of free time to sit around and just think, like, just to sit there and think, is someone coming on a boat right now to take me out of this game? Or is no one going to take me out of this game, and I'm going to have to find out that my mom died a week earlier after winning a game of Survivor?
Yeah, I bet you didn't think things would get this real on the Fox Worthy podcast. It's where we're at. But I tell you what, if Adam makes it to the final three, I don't want to say this is perverse, but like when they cut to that live tribal at the back end of the 3 hours that they do for the finale, I'm just going to be praying that Adam's mom's in the audience for that. Like, is that not the number one thing you're thinking about going into the live part? If he makes it that far, I mean, I'd be thinking about it anyway.
Will he be there? Like, his mom's got to be there. I can't imagine the feeling that we're all gonna feel if the camera comes in and his mom's not there, and they have to stand him up, make some sort of spectacle out of him, and be like, Adam's mom didn't make it. He's one of the final three, and we've already voted, so this doesn't get to matter.
This could be really tricky. I didn't even consider this.
Like, how's Survivor gonna handle dealing with that?
I don't even know. Man. On that note, let's talk about the finale. So they mishandled something this year. I don't know what it was, but there are 6 people left.
I don't know how they just did the math wrong. Because last year there was 5 people left. And like, how are they gonna make it work? And this year it's even worse.
Maybe there's no commercials. I don't know. So they're like, I presume, gonna vote out a person every half hour until the finale. So
right.
We're down to Jay, Adam, Hannah, Brett, Ken, and David. Which, by the way, 3 millennials, 3 Gen X.
It's a real showdown of that theme that doesn't matter anymore.
Who can I cross out here? I can cross out.
Please cross off Brett.
Brett's not going to win.
Brett's on my team, but if he wins, I will protest in the streets.
And I don't think he can cross off anyone else. I think David can win. He's been a power player in the whole game. I think Ken could win. Look at him. I think Jay could win. He's got a ton of friends on the jury.
Right.
I think Adam could win because he's just really played a great game.
He's got a great game. And
he's got a great edit.
I am waiting for that moment where Adam is in the top three and his final speech to the jury is just going to be him saying, be like, I'm playing this show, this game, so I can pay for my mom's breast cancer treatment. Which might or might not be true. That he needs
you know
it
what?
To pay for it.
I changed my mind. I can cross off Hannah too.
Right. I think crossing off Hannah is a fair game.
And you know why? Because even when nerdy awkward girls who play great games deserve to win, they don't. We learned that last year from Aubrey. And I refuse
right?
to let myself get invested in someone who deserves to win.
Oh, this is so sad.
And watch it go down the drain. So we got Jay, who if he basically has to win immunity straight to the end to get there.
Right, Jay's got
full
mind.
He did burn his idol last week. Adam could win, Cam and David. What a weird calendar.
Yeah, this could really go pretty much any way. Right now, my top picks are David and Adam for total winner. Honestly, I think David still has a strong case to make. David has played an incredible game, and he has a story arc that literally every member of the jury has been a part of or has seen happen. There was that moment before that challenge where David is about to sit out voluntarily and just be like, I'm not going to play this because you need someone to sit out and I am not a good swimmer. And everyone just says, no, David, don't do this to yourself. You can do this. And like rallies around him. And he does. And he...
Oh, what a moment.
Still loses the challenge. But that was like one of the great moments of the season. And David, since then, has been a main character. Like, absolutely a main character.
If I had to pick him now, I think Jay would win.
Really?
I think he has too many friends on the jury.
Name them.
You got Tails. You got Michelle. You got Wilder now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if Zeke is his friend. I don't know if Zeke is both of them. But that's three. Just
right.
That's three off of that. Look.
Who we got on the jury? Let me pull up the jury list here. Do-do-do-do-do, podcasting. This is how you do podcasts.
After the break.
Sunday, Will, Zeke, Jessica, Chris, Taylor, and Michelle.
Sunday?
So, you know, this is tough. I don't really know what's going to happen. It depends so much on what our final three is.
But, you know, he's got Taylor, Michelle, and Will in the bag for sure.
I would say he's probably got Jessica too.
Well, Jessica
would vote Ken. If Ken makes it, Jessica's voting Ken.
Right, because they were basically lovers.
Except for, I can't believe we didn't talk about Ken and Hannah.
Can we backtrack a little bit?
Just mention it quickly.
Hannah and Ken, couple. They're not really a couple. There was one great moment where Hannah and Ken happen to be sitting on the beach next to each other watching the sunrise, and Ken leans over and just goes, you know, the first couple of seconds after the sun peeks over the horizon, you can look straight at it and it won't hurt your eyes. And it cuts to an interview with Hannah going, yeah, me and Ken, I can see it happening.
She's just like, kiss me, you sweet cool.
And so that's like, actually, my wife said last week, I think, that she hopes that Adam wins it all, but Cam proposes to Hannah at the end, and everything is perfect.
Oh, gosh.
I'm disappointed we didn't have Jordan or Ty here to
yeah.
record this with us. But maybe post finale.
We'll get back together.
But in the meantime, I think this was a good experiment.
All right.
We might have talked for a long time just because, you know, Levi doesn't need to.
I have no idea. I've
he's
never
just,
done
he's
this.
He's just rambling about.
Here, let's go over our picks.
What do you want to finish off with?
What were our picks for finale from Fantasy Survivor?
Oh, well, we only picked the first round. We've only so far picked who we think is going to get knocked out.
All right, so going into it.
So going in, I believe I probably... Let me see here.
podcasting again. We're doing such a great job podcasting.
Brought to you by Audible.
Hey, we don't have any sponsors.
Well, they just got free sponsors.
I got 10 on David.
You got 10 on Brett. And Jordan and Ty have 10 on Jay. Which I wanted to put 10 on Jay, but Jordan, I can't do the same thing as
right, to get those eliminated.
So, you know, I'll just say this. My pick to win is Adam.
And I'm just saying that because I want to root for him.
And he's on my team, and I like him.
My pick to win is David, because I think David has the best story of anyone here throughout the show.
Adam. I can overlook Adam.
I picked David, so you know who I argue for.
That's it.
That's all we got.
This was sort of a dry run. I don't know if that's the right phrase, but we didn't really practice. Or I've obviously done this, but you know, this is Levi's first podcast. So
yeah.
If you made it this far, this is a moment that will live on forever for you and for Levi.
Literally, just for me, honestly. I'm Brian Foxworthy.
I'm Taylor Gaines. And Brian will be back soon. We'll have our more wide-ranging TV stuff like we usually do. We're going to talk about a movie. We're going to talk about Nocturnal Animals with Jake Gyllenhaal and Amy Adams. Me and Brian went and saw it.
That's a movie?
On Friday. Yeah, it's a movie.
Oh, okay.
Wow. And we'll talk about Search Party like we promised. We'll cover some Amazon stuff. But for now, this has been a very special episode of the Foxworthy Podcast, Survivor. Season 33, Millennials versus Gen X.
It's 34.
Is it 34?
It's 34.
I'm pretty sure it's 33. But either way, that's all we got. Goodbye and good night.
Good night.
I don't know how Brian usually signs off.
Good night.
Adios.
Good night. Foxworthy Podcast.